CliffCentral.com.
All right, we are live. And this is a very, very special day. We're live from our brand new studios. Well, actually, just a small part of our new digs. And I've got to say, I love this place. It's what a beautiful place to kind of start your day. And this is going to be an experiment today in a bunch of things. That we're doing a whole lot of really exciting things today. Got a special reveal later on with our friends from Markets.com. And you know, we've been doing Markets Mondays with them for a whole long time. So this is very exciting. But let me introduce my co-hosts for the morning, both of whom are well known to the audience on CliffCentral.com and also to people all over South Africa. First of all, we have Lebang Khosana, who, morning, morning, Lebang. And Lebang is here to start the day with some, look at that beautiful top you're wearing. It's almost like the flag. It is the flag,
yeah,
right?
I think that smells great. I was like, how do I push like diva energy? What I went for.
So. It's good. Plus this is like good. Brilliant. I like that.
Thank you.
It would be better though if you pulled your microphone a little bit close to your mouth.
As well. Testing.
All right. Very nice. Very nice. The other human being here is with, you know, he's become...
It's the first time you've ever called me
ever
a human
called
being.
You a human being. Aki Anastasiou, who is not only a tech genius and a man of many years of experience in broadcasting, in radio and television. He's got his own show.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning,
thank you for calling me a genius. I'll take it. You ever be called a genius?
You know what? It's your lucky day, Ax.
Divide that by 10. But anyway, it's nice to be here. Good morning. Good morning, Lebang.
Good morning,
good morning, Gareth. What a lovely, lovely new venue for Cliff Central. And I'm truly honored to be here. I just love the energy. Yeah. You're kind of in the middle of Sandton, but you're surrounded by beautiful trees and... Oh, it's magical.
Listen, this is the first time I think we've had the entire staff here first thing in the morning for a long time.
Yes.
This is pre-COVID. And we're doing it for all the right reasons here. We've moved into our new premises. We've got offices down this way. We've got a new studio which is being built. I don't know how much you've got to see.
Well, I walked down there and I just was looking at your new studio that's almost done. It's not completely built yet.
Nope.
That's where you're going to be broadcasting from. So this is kind of temporary here, right?
Well, this is our lounge.
This is the lounge area.
So we decided we would use our lounge for the first proper reveal of the new show.
I love it.
And we are looking to hear from you also in the comments. We want to hear what you're up to, and we want to hear from all the usual suspects. They're all there, beautiful studio people. I love this, says Tabo. We've got Lubabalos, who says, good-looking venue. It's so beautiful. Charlene saying good morning. Seamus saying, wow, that's real posh. But that's because he's Irish, obviously, with a name like Seamus. So anything's posh that isn't made out of mud.
Well, this is absolutely stunning.
Thank you. No, it's cool.
How big is this place, actually? Because...
Oh, you know, we have several acres, but we prefer not to talk too much.
You've got your own pool here. You've got palm trees. And
yes.
The entrance is a fantastic Italian restaurant. Have you ever eaten at
Listen. Stella? Listen,
It's day one.
Give us a chance to settle in.
One thing at a time.
Spread our wings. Mm. But yes, this is a very special place. And it's going to be our home for, I hope, many, many years.
Yeah.
And we're going to be inviting everybody around in dribs and drabs. We can't have everyone all at once.
Exactly.
But we'll be doing lots of events here. We've got lots of ideas going forward for our clients, for ourselves. We're going to be inviting all the important people. You know, just as we did at Cliff Central when we were at 18 Vessels Road in Rivonia.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. So there's lots to talk about today. I mean, we're in Johannesburg, so we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that we have a new mayor. And Pumi was telling me yesterday, because I saw Pumi Mashego last night at the Sia Kolisi event. He launched his movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Pumi was telling me this new mayor of ours is a well... He's quite something.
It's like our third mayor in the year, isn't it?
Well, if you include Popalazzi twice, I think he's our fourth.
He's our fourth.
Yeah.
We're doing well.
We're doing great. I mean, Joburg is obviously running very well.
Yeah.
You know,
smooth.
Yeah, no one's worried. Water and electricity have never been an issue here. Potholes are just, there aren't any.
Absolutely. And what I do love about the city is how the wild shrubs are cut to size along the pavements. You know, when you're driving, and you see the weeds.
Sometimes I can't see the cars on the other side of the road. But yes, I hear you. I mean, at least things are growing because of all the, you know, the good summer weather.
We had some good rain this weekend, guys.
Yeah, that was actually very nice. The rain was, it was much needed.
Cooler.
Look, I'm actually, I can't wait for the Burning Platform on Thursday because I feel like that's going to be a fire episode. This new mayor has caused quite a bit of havoc pre-entrance. Mm-hmm. He's 1 foot in the door already. There's like, what is this guy going to do actually? Like, his credentials aren't there. His experience is, it's very questionable. So I just want to see what's going to happen on Thursday. I know Pumi's got a lot to say about it.
Look, I'm still trying to figure out how he actually got voted in. How did that process happen? It's a mystery, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the thing with politics at this level in South Africa is that we're going into uncharted territory.
Yeah.
Because now... And in some ways, and I don't want to make it too political for the first show of this this new week and the last show effectively of January. What, January 31 days? So we still got tomorrow as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, we've got lots of coalition politics to come, and if this is any indication, it's going to be a clusterfuck.
Messy.
A what?
Clusterfuck.
Oh, okay.
The best word I could come up with.
It's a very apt word to use.
It's the best word to use. Yeah. So I see in the comments we've got Tracy says looks bloody amazing. Parallel Parking says you start off by immediately insulting the flat earthers with this globe on the desk. Yes, I thought that was a good idea. Marco says studio's epic, guys. Well, this isn't even our studio. Yeah, wait till you see that. Yeah, that's coming up.
This is just Gareth's office.
Yeah. Lebang, you're looking fabulous. Some of the comments. That's also very nice.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
So tell me about the Sia Khaleesi documentary premiere, because you stayed for the whole thing.
I didn't stay for the whole thing. Yeah, you smiled and waved and did your thing. I stayed. It was, you know, like you see a lot of documentaries of like iconic people that are like, you know, breaking the way things have been done. But the way Sia has put his story out there is quite magical. And it's important. The thing that I realized was that we need the story as South Africa. There's nobody that can sit there and watch that docu and not feel moved by it. It's so relatable. It's so understanding. It's just, it's necessary. That's the best way I can describe it. He's so raw. Like, I don't want to give away too much because I want everybody to go and see it, obviously. But the way that you see Sia is just this vulnerable human being who isn't trying to act like something he's not.
Wow.
And it's also not about rugby. Like, rugby is just like the plus of the whole thing. It's just a story about his life story.
And he's so authentic, eh?
That's the thing. He's just being his true ghost. He's not trying to be anything else.
You don't find authenticity in the world.
Don't worry, I mean...
My brain hasn't engaged yet. But he's authentic, eh?
And
it's very rare today.
Like, you use that word, and... I saw somebody using a word. Someone used these two words to describe themselves in, I don't know, some YouTube clip I saw the other day. They said, you know, the thing about me is I'm really authentic and I'm really humble.
Do authentic people describe themselves as authentic?
No, but this is the point. So if you are using the words authentic and humble to describe yourself, I'm sorry to break it to you, but you're neither of those things. But you're right. That's the quality everyone's looking for.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
We want real again. We're tired of like the fluff and the lights and the cameras and the glitter that's thrown onto social media and what people...
Smoke and mirrors.
Smoke and mirrors is exhausting. So really, it was a breath of fresh air just seeing him in his like nakedness like that.
I beg your pardon?
You heard me.
Wow. There was nudity as well.
There was nudity. Not that kind of nudity.
Okay.
But yeah, it was... Go check it out. Go check it out.
So I can't waste an opportunity when Aki's around to ask him about the Consumer Electronics Show, because we love talking about new technology, gadgets, you know, new inventions, what everybody's talking about. And I know you want to get onto OpenAI and ChatGPT, because we've spoken about this pretty much every day of the show.
Scary, huh?
This year. And I've tried it. I've tried a number of different things with it. It is frightening what this thing can do.
Mm. Yeah.
Frightening and amazing, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And finally, you know, it's not just blue-collar workers who have to worry about robots taking over their jobs in factories and things. Now, all those white-collar creatives, all those people who think, oh, no, but, you know, machines will never be able to do what I can do as a human.
Exactly.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not true anymore.
And all your MBA people that studied for years and years...
This thing can churn out an MBA better than...
It can.
give it three sentences, and it'll beat anything that an MBA student can come up with.
Yeah, it's frightening.
It's scary.
It's absolutely frightening. But yeah, I mean, Vegas, I just love going to that show. And the last time I actually went was in 2020.
Hmm.
And literally I got back.
Why? What happened in 2021 and 2020?
Well, specific?
It was like a bit of a gap.
Something,
you know, something weird happened and I just couldn't travel.
It's just you.
Masks and all sorts of things. But, you know, it was weird, hey. Now that I think back to 2020, when I came in via Frankfurt and, you know, people had, I remember being in the airport and just watching, you know, CNN, and they were starting to talk about this thing, you know, and I was thinking, wow, this is crazy. But anyway, that was in January. By February, of course, we all know what happened. And that was the last time I was in Vegas in 2020. In 2021, it was held virtually. 2022 was an in-person event again, but it wasn't quite the same. I mean, we seem to forget that last year, December, we were still wearing masks, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Some not last year, the year before.
But last year, middle of last year, people were still unable to travel.
Yeah, exactly.
And we were being blamed for that third, fourth, fifth, who knows how many wave.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a great show. You know, it hasn't actually quite recovered to what it used to be. And I mean, normally you get like 200,000 people coming.
Mm.
And there were probably about 150, 130,000, around about that number. But still, it's quite big when it comes to, you know, a show. But just in terms of exhibitors...
You had some breathing room.
You had some breathing room, a little bit of breathing room. It wasn't as chaotic as it has been in the past. You know, I mean, I've been to the show 15 times. And but it was nice and chilled, and there were some very interesting technologies, you know. And you talk about... ChatGPT, and you talk about AI. You know, everything is embedded in AI. You know,
from toilets. You had to add the T at the end of GPT. Otherwise, people would have thought it was another Grand Prix, and nobody cares about
that. So. But you talk about AI. There was this toilet that was there from Withings, and it had this little. Almost like a puck style thing, almost towards the base of the toilet.
A toilet?
Yeah, you stick this inside the toilet, right? And every time you pee, it analyzes your pee and it tells you what your glucose levels are and
Mash
sugar, you know, all that sort of thing.
It's a real thing.
And it's able to identify who's peeing. I was trying to figure that out.
Yeah. Right?
But it's astonishing what they can come up with. And there were toilets that analyze your feces.
This is not where I expected the conversation to go.
No, but I'm giving an idea of the world that we're living in today that it's becoming so driven by data and us wanting to know more about what's happening with our bodies.
Sure.
That everything is connected. I mean, there were shower heads that were smart shower heads that you can actually control through an app, and then you can change the flavor of your scent that comes down, and you can adjust the temperature of your water. And if you want a more,
you must take your phone into the shower with you.
No, you do that
something
before.
Like a preset
some people
thing
do
guy.
Take their some people do take their phones into the shower. Right?
Do they?
I don't know. Do they?
Oh, there are people who I know people who spend most of their, you know, the time that you really shouldn't have anything with you, like when you're doing all these laboratorial things that Aki's talking about.
Mm.
The one time you don't need this stuff, and there are. There we go.
Yeah, there
Sorry.
We go. Well,
do you know what that is, guys?
People can't switch their phones off. 5 seconds.
That's my alarm that goes off every week because I've sacrificed being at gym with my personal trainer to be here this morning.
I can tell the
how
results.
How do you think I'll manage such an amazing body? And a six-pack. Where do you think I get this from? Just by eating Burger King.
Is your trainer called Burger King?
No. Fiona, I'll be back on Wednesday.
Fiona?
You have a female trainer. I did too, and she kicked my backside.
Ooh, Fiona's tough, man.
See, a woman personal trainer, if you're a guy, you're actually likelier to listen to her, either because you're frightened or because she motivates you because she's a woman in a way that a man can't.
I think it's
like
the same vice versa.
You can't be fat. You can't be ugly. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, she just understands my body and she understands where my weak parts of my body are and what she needs to work on.
What are the strong parts?
My strong parts of my body are my upper body, my muscles, my six-pack, my legs. I've been told I've got good legs.
So back to the consumer electronics show.
But listen, there was a great solution.
Hold on. So here's where I'm still stuck. So now The whole consumer electronics show so far, according to you, is all in the bathroom. It's analyzing your pee, it's analyzing your turds, it's analyzing your, it's helping you make your shower, smell nice, and different colored water and what.
Exactly. But there's even, you know, who's got cats here?
Definitely don't look at the black girl.
Who's got cats here? No. Nobody. So there was this device where the cat goes into this device, does its poo, its wee, right?
Right.
And then it detects which cat is there. So it starts analyzing, you know, which cat's had its movements. And because I've got a cat, so you got to clean the cat litter every single day. So as soon as the cat's been in it, then it starts turning in a, you know, in a motion, in a circular motion. And it sieves out the, you know, the cat litter and keeps the poo. And then the poo goes into another container. And then you empty that out whenever you want to.
This is so beyond.
You don't have to actually clean the cat litter.
Okay,
every
but
day.
This is beyond rich people problems. I mean, if you're analyzing, let me just say this: that if there's anyone listening to us now who is thinking that this is something they need, you probably don't have any other problems in your life.
Well, look, it is expensive. It's like a $400 device. But the point is that all of these technologies, even the pee thing, it's eventually going to become like a standard thing one day.
I don't know if I
it
want that.
It be built into toilets.
Do you want that, Leban?
No, I'm not interested in that at all, to be honest. No. It's almost sounding like all these things are like, let's make people's lives easier.
Yeah.
Like all the things that you're talking about. But it's also like, and it's what I said to Mash when he told us about this. Are we just like making people lazy in a certain way?
Making them lazy. I'm paranoid. It's going to be telling you every. I mean, I don't think about my overall health every time I go to pee. And I don't think it's probably a very good idea to do that.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be telling you what's wrong with you. But you're just waking up. You're just having a pee.
I guess
you have blood cancer. Nice.
We're living in a data-driven society where we want to know everything about what's happening. Maybe not everyone, but the point is that if you look at where health tech is going, and that certainly was one of the big themes at CES, where everything is now connected and everything is talking to each other and everything has got some level of AI built into it.
Sure.
And once you start adding and putting things together from your blood pressure to what your wee says to what your heart rate says when you're exercising, you start building a picture of your health. Right. And I guess ultimately that's where they want to go. But there was a very cool gadget. And although the thinking behind this was a workstation, I thought that this solution would be a great solution for load shedding because it's called the Acer eConnect BD3 bike desk. Mm. So it's a bike, right? And it's got a desk and you cycle and the cycling charges your devices and you can work simultaneously.
So you're working while you work.
Yeah, so it's like a proper desk. So you can charge your phone, you got your laptop. But
have you ever tried to talk to a cyclist when they're stationary? It's impossible.
No, it's impossible.
When they're on their bikes.
But think about this. With load shedding, you can charge your devices while you're exercising and working at the same time.
I like the idea.
Yeah, but like practically...
I don't see South Africans getting on a motionless bike and turning the wheel to power up their device. Mm-mm. I mean, we're desperate for electricity, but even we won't do that.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you talk about electricity... And there was a theme that I've never seen before is alternative energy solutions and in particular battery-powered solutions. And you think that, you know, a country like the U.S., which has got a pretty stable power supply, there were a lot of these kind of UPS devices, you know, portable battery charging. So that seems to be getting, you know, quite popular globally as well.
Well, now you've got everyone's attention because that's something that everybody's talking about. And I know that, you know, the Tesla wall batteries were a big deal.
Yes,
People are very into those. Are those still a topic of discussion over there, or are they developing better things than that?
Oh, absolutely.
Because battery technology sort of came to a grinding halt.
Yes.
You know?
Well, look, at the moment, lithium ion has been developed. There still hasn't been a significant breakthrough with regards to battery technology. But hydrogen is quite a big one. And in fact, I'm just trying to remember the guy's name. He's a South African adventurer, half Swiss. Maybe you guys, I'm sure he's been on your show.
Not Rian Mansa.
His name will come to me, but his company have developed the solution, which is the size of a big box, right? Which is hydrogen powered. Mm. And they reckon that this thing will be able to power, several houses using hydrogen power. So people are finding lots of different alternatives to energy, and people are becoming more sustainable.
I'd just like to announce for those people who've tuned in for the first time, we are doing our show this morning live from our new premises.
Yes.
We're doing a little launch for our friends at markets.com a little later on. But we're actually powered by our own nuclear right here. We've got our own nuclear reactor.
I was wondering why we
have the space, so I decided, you know what, let's do a fusion reactor. And it is experimental, and we haven't got permission, so please don't tell the City Council of Joburg. And it doesn't matter if you tell the City Council of Joburg, because we don't even know really whether the mayor knows whether he's mayor or not.
So. Yeah. But you know what was interesting, guys?
Great opportunity to take a chance.
Well, exactly. Just tell me you've got a nuclear facility running here.
Yes.
See you after the show.
Pebble bed.
Pebble bed reactor.
Yeah.
There's the pool water
that's
at the
right.
back.
That's the cooling.
That's the cooling.
That's the cooling mechanism there.
What in
there.
The Tony Stark is happening here?
You only glow after 8 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Before that, you could get away with it. God, at night after 8 weeks, people will say, wow, you have such a nice glow. And they won't mean like, you know, the pregnancy glow, or general health glow.
You know, I remember, you're talking about glow, one of my very, very early days in radio was when the Chernobyl nuclear disaster happened.
You're very old.
Jeez Louise.
Because that was before we had motion pictures.
You've just exposed yourself.
But if you guys remember, I'll expose myself even more.
The gramophone record.
We don't remember.
Not like that, but Stan Katz was on the radio.
His master's voice for the only
time. His master's voice. Stan Katz was on the radio. I was in high school at the time.
Yes.
And I had, you know, mastered the voice of Ronald Reagan. Okay. And we used to do these short skits that were happening, you know. Mm. So the Chernobyl nuclear disaster happened. And, you know, the president of the U.S. used to call into his show occasionally.
Right.
And
so
give
he must
words
have called
of
him
wisdom.
Then.
So he called in there and he goes, hello. And he goes, Mr. Katz. I said, oh, Mr. President, how are you doing? Well, I'm very good and Nancy's well. But I just wanted to give a message to all the Russian people that have been affected by the, and you know, it's not nice to say this,
no,
but it was quite a nasty incident.
It was a terrible thing that happened.
Chernobyl nuclear disaster. He says, what's your message, Mr. President? Well, Mr. Katz, when you gotta glow, you gotta glow. And he used to play music, but
the 80s, where that was sufficient for humor.
Would you go to Chernobyl if you got a chance?
No, listen,
now?
I would.
Because it's fascinating. They do tours there.
Did you ever watch, I mean, it was such a brilliant miniseries, that unbelievable miniseries they put together.
It was stunning.
I think it won more awards than any other. It was absolutely spectacular. And listen, people, unfortunately, while we're talking about this, because it needs a special mention, but nuclear gets this really bad reputation from Chernobyl, from 3 Mile Island, from Fukushima, which are the only three out of all the many nuclear reactors that have powered. And listen, with nuclear power, the amount of power it creates is way greater than anything that solar, wind, coal, oil, any of those can do. It's also less environmentally dangerous, even though you produce these radioactive byproducts and these radioactive waste products. We should be doing more of that. The whole world should be doing more of that. But because humans are so frightened, we've stopped everything there dead in its tracks. And now we're relying on lithium-ion batteries, which are an old form of technology. We've got to come up with something better.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And I mean, have you guys tried to get a solar panel installed in Joburg?
They're all busy.
Everybody's
you can't find them.
Yeah, the demand's
too high. Amazing at the moment, eh?
But they're also, like Lebang and I discussed the other day, there are lots of Fong Kong.
Yeah, the scammers.
Solar panel
dodgy,
guys.
Dodgy scam people out there. Be careful.
Just make because sure it's like tainted glass doesn't mean it's solar panel.
Exactly. Make sure you use the real ones. Okay, so let's go back to Consumer Electronics Show, because people love talking about new technology. I love talking about new technology. And I think a lot of the stuff that's hype, that game is over now. People don't want to, they're not interested in hype and stuff that doesn't really make a difference. And honestly, the phone technology is also kind of ground to a bit of a
halt. It is. There's not much innovation taking place there. And you know, you're quite right about the hype. I mean, this is the show where the first VHS tapes and Betamax were introduced. The first compact disc was launched there many years ago, and then flat screen TVs. Yeah. I mean, I remember a few years ago, that the big hype was 3D television. You remember? We all had to wear these glasses and you had 3D. And does anybody wear 3D glasses watching TVs? Every TV has 3D capabilities, provided you wear your glasses. But the picture quality is crap at the moment.
And
right?
Weren't we all meant to be wearing
VR
now?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was a massive theme this year. And everybody is talking VR and you know, Meta, which is Facebook, they've gone all in with VR. Microsoft have got the HoloLens. And like everyone is talking VR. And at this show at CES, there were lots of different manufacturers launching glasses. And of course, the big barrier is how big this thing is, the quality and how long the battery lasts.
Yeah.
But there was an interesting one that was there. The TCL had their Ray Neo XR AR glasses, augmented reality glasses. And they were slightly bigger than the glasses I'm wearing at the moment. Battery life was a bit limited. So everyone is trying there. And even Apple actually, you know, we're getting hints from Apple that this is one of the things that they're going to be launching this year. Their own, you know, VR kind of headset. And they're going to move into this augmented reality space. Whether it's going to work, it's a gamble for everyone. The challenge is to get it into a form factor that's small enough that you can experience what they want you to experience with a longer battery life and a better vision of the quality of the video, et cetera, et cetera. So I do think there is a place for VR. I mean, I've used VR in a Ford plant where you've got the mechanics wearing this and there's a guy in the US.
Like a heads up display?
Well, no, it's similar to the heads up display, but the point is that you can have guidance from somebody in the middle of nowhere and you can see the parts that you need to change. So the guys were using like a spanner to open an engine and they had it all visually in front of them. They could see the engine and they were able to, you know, undo something and change something.
That's
and imagine
impressive.
From an aircraft point of view, etc. So that for me was quite interesting.
Well, speaking of all of this stuff, I mean, somebody says here, come Friday, we're off the grid. That's one of our listeners this morning. A big, huge initial capital outlay, but I think a lot of people are starting to do this because there's just not an option. Of course, for some people, there isn't an option.
You
can't
put
in solar if you're renting.
Yeah.
You know?
And also, you know, people think, oh, I'm going to go off grid, and they do the wrong calculations. Now, I've got solar at home, okay, and I live on my own, which is fine. But, you know, if you've got a family of three, and you've got a stove, and you've got two geysers.
No,
it's difficult to go off-grid, and people don't understand the power that all of these devices draw. So, and I think that we all don't make the right adjustments in dealing with the load
shedding. Is the metaverse still a thing?
It is. They're talking it up. It's a gamble, and I think that's the... You know, you've got to look at Facebook and you've got to look at their platforms. They've also reached a point where they're not growing. Even like Google at the moment with their revenue streams that they're generating. Look, they're still making a lot of money, but they've got to think of the next big thing. And Facebook's big on the metaverse, eh? Big. Have you tried it? Have you guys tried it?
No.
I've been at two or three events where people have launched things, and I've got to be honest with you, I kind of get it when I'm there, and then a few minutes later, I go, well, I'm not going to miss it if I don't do it. And I forget what it is fairly shortly after that. It's still too, I think it's too complicated for people to, it's hard enough for us to come to grips with our virtual personalities that social media have given us. But now we also have to have this metaverse version of ourselves where, I mean, it's exceedingly complicated. You have people are buying property in the metaverse.
I don't get it. It's what's wrong with where you're living at the moment? Why do you have to move into another verse?
If your life sucks, and many people, sadly, their lives aren't that great, they build everything into these metaverses. People that are into the metaverse are just there 24/7. There you go. Most of them, like, unfortunately.
Imagine you say you've met somebody on the metaverse and you're now in a relationship.
It happens.
I mean, how does it work?
It happens. I saw a documentary a couple of years ago on Netflix about this guy who actually got divorced in real life because he spent too much of his time in this online metaverse. His wife was like, he doesn't care for me anymore. He's always online. He was in a relationship with an Australian girl and he was American. They met eventually after this whole relationship online. And then when it was time to like get into the real world, their relationship didn't work because now it's like, okay, here you are in real life. We actually aren't these personalities that we made ourselves to be.
I think it's horrible.
It was horrendous. It's just sad.
Can I be
horrible.
Honest with you?
Yes, you can.
You seem to know a lot about what's happening in the metaverse and like, like intricate details of people's lives in the metaverse.
Look,
what do you do in your spare time?
So I don't go to the metaverse.
She has no spare time.
I don't have any spare time.
She's gone on for 5 minutes telling us about people's lives in the metaverse.
I was shocked.
How do you learn all that stuff?
Aki, it's if a you're documentary not in the metaverse. About people who are low lives, who spend their lives in this metaverse.
Did you see how she looked at me?
I was shocked.
Did you see when she said low lives, how she looked at me? Wow.
Just watch the docu, trust me.
Guys, is so... Wow. Okay. What's the docu called?
I even forgot. I'll find it for you. But it was about these people that literally everything
they
do is online.
They are quite sad. Eh?
It's these sad. Like, they live in their mother's basements. I mean, they've got nothing going for them. But online, they are fabulous. They are everything. They're shiny. They, you know, they're incredible. But then you meet them in real life and you're like...
We know a few people like that.
I don't actually know anyone who's spending a huge amount of time in the metaverse. I must be honest with you. All the people I've spoken to about it are very like gung-ho and excited about it, but they themselves are not spending day in, day out there.
Yeah.
And they're mostly in the real world, which I think is healthy.
Mm.
You know, yes. I don't see a good way of... If you're spending more than 20% of your time, because your time is, I'm sorry, you only got so much time, and we're not uploaded, you can't upload your consciousness into the metaverse yet.
So
in other words, while you're alive, if you're spending more than 10% in my book of your time there, that's
a lot.
Let me ask you
this question. You say 10% of your time in the metaverse is a lot. What would you say to people who spend more than 10% of their time on their phones, on social media?
Oh, you mean my children? Yeah,
no,
so
I'm
this
just saying
is
in general,
say.
Like social media and watching Netflix.
How much time? I mean, you're.
I mean, you get
you
this.
You could use the excuse that you're doing research, even if you're just using your phone for all kinds of other stuff.
Mm.
And listen, I went down the rabbit hole this weekend because I was looking for like ways that you could use your phone more productively and cut down on your time there.
Yeah.
You listen, there are videos from some very, very clever people, some very good South African YouTubers who are putting up reviews of iOS 16. And there's some very good people. There's some of them we've had on the show. But how much time do you spend on your phone?
Well, the thing is, for me, there's a scary part on iOS where it tells you
how much screen time
you spend.
Your screen time in gaming and your screen time doing this and that. You know, I try to balance it, and I think everything's about balance. But where I was going with that is that you were joking about 10% of your time on the metaverse, but how many people, and you know, people watching right now, what percentage of your weekend time did you watching Netflix? Was it 10%? Was it more? How much time are we doing on Instagram and, on Facebook?
Listen, you've seen those videos of those people walking, looking at their phone and walking straight into street poles and things like that.
Yeah,
because
I walked into somebody this weekend, man. The shopping center, walking around on their phone, and they walked straight into me.
Yeah.
You see them all the time. Yeah.
So I've got this great app, which pretty much is connected to my kids' devices, like their tablets or whatever. I can literally monitor every single thing they do.
Yeah.
And I've put a limit on the screen time
to
3 hours
moms?
A day. I'm definitely one of
you
those
You have
moms.
To be. Otherwise,
I have to, otherwise,
you're a bad parent if you don't.
Yeah, but did you hear what she just said? She just gives them 3 hours screen time a day.
A day. Yeah, well, look.
3 hours a day.
The tablet
There's
is part,
10%
it's part of,
you were
it's part
me
of schooling. They use it to do research.
Okay.
But I can see everything that they're doing, which is what I like. Once they've reached that 3 hours, the tablet, like, it locks. And then they get stuck. They're like, what do we do now? They have to, like, run outside and get creative, blah, blah, blah. It's a real thing.
Okay, they're probably getting ready to go to school now, right?
Yeah.
So what have you discovered? What websites should they visit?
Yeah, what are these kids up to?
So there's a lot of YouTube. It's just a lot of YouTube. It's Googling random questions like who's Messi and who's Ronaldo. We're still good. It's surface level.
Okay.
So I'm happy. But I'm not at that point where it's gotten scary yet. So I'm still in a good place with them.
But you can add like a filter that prevents...
There's definitely a filter where they can't download certain things, certain apps. If they try to, I get a notification, et cetera. It's literally just like I'm playing God.
That is amazing. You know, again, because I don't have kids, I don't think about this. But what you're telling me is just phenomenal. There's no way parents in our day would have been able to know what their kids were.
And
the internet was just this big, like, open thing, and you could go in and just find anything you wanted.
Mm.
There's no way they could track what you were up to. The fact that you can do that, that you can actually get a report every day of like what your kids were up to online, that's a real brilliant use of technology.
It's important,
That's phenomenal.
It is.
Love it.
I got bust once when I was growing up. My mom found a Scope magazine under my bed.
What's Scope magazine for us newbies?
It was like a raunchy magazine back in the day, you know, where there were like a couple of topless people.
But didn't you?
Then they used to put stars.
Like, in those days, they used to have stars.
They used to have stars.
Oh, know? Okay.
Yeah.
And you got caught.
There was under the mattress, Bo Brummel. I mean, Bo Brummel was the
mattress.
Yeah, it was the Scope magazine.
That is very sloppy, Aki.
That is so sloppy. Anyway, look.
But there was an actual
confession
article.
Time.
You know, like this is how incredibly this has changed over what period of 30, 40 years. It's all gone completely in a different direction.
No, completely. No, completely. Now you've got, I mean, even at CES, there was a company that were talking about, porn as, VR in porn.
Which, I knew we'd go. I knew we'd end up here.
But if you think about it, if you're watching content, it's, you know, ultra realistic. I mean, those are the guys that are spending a huge amount of money in investing in research to happen. Because you think about that, if they get that right,
Well, VR is obviously for them the next
big time
frontier.
Absolutely.
And you're going to have these total, like, antisocial, bizarre,
it's
weird,
scary, man.
Creepy people who live in the basement with a VR headset on the whole
24/7.
Time.
24/7.
Just, you know, being with the girl of their dreams, but actually she's not really there.
Wow. And she's probably not even, like, real. No, another thing I remember from the documentary was when one of the Asian countries, there's a shortage of girlfriends for these young...
Japan,
yes. Mm. These young guys who just get into corporate very early and then that's their whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
They had to pretty much create a female, you know, girlfriend-esque type thing
really?
That they can all be in a relationship with. I swear, they are all in a relationship with, like, the same doll online. It's scary what's happening.
Well, there was that movie. What was it called? She.
Yeah.
Remember, the guy falls in love with his...
Yeah.
What's his name? But that's where we're going, guys, where, you know, people are lonely and they need that interaction. Sure. There's no balance in the world at the moment. It's...
Well, Parallel Parking says, we've moved from seeing naked women with stars on them to being exposed to stars who have naked women on them.
Wow.
That's about right.
Oh, gosh.
Now, what is your story with manual and automatic? I mean, what's going on here?
Oh, no. I got a ride from Mash, who's one of my colleagues, and his car was automatic. And I was like, Mash, interesting. Why wouldn't you want to drive a manual where you can change the gears and actually get a feel for the car? I was just shocked.
There are people who are buying their first car as an automatic. They've never driven a manual.
That scares me.
They don't
me.
Know how to change gears.
That scares me a lot.
It scares you because for you and me and Aki, probably it's important that you learn to drive in a manual car.
At
a lot
least.
Of people will never need to. They'll never need to.
But guys, why is this such an issue?
I'm just surprised.
So what?
At the very least, your
Mash,
first car.
I'm with you, Mash. I'm with you, bro.
At least know how to
Mash.
Drive a
no,
manual
Mash
vehicle.
Where's Mash?
There's Mash.
Sorry,
right
I'm putting Mash on the spot.
By the
it
way, I just want to say, like, the whole team is here. So we've Homo Lemo, we've got Simpiwe, we've got Jane, Mash, Dory, we've got Ryan, we've got Michael, we've got Spike, the
whole
team
squad.
Are here. It's
so
all happening.
Let me ask you a question. So you're saying, you like, rubbishing Mash is...
I'm absolutely not rubbishing.
Drive.
I love him
to bits. Drive Mash, it's okay, bro.
I'm just saying you have to know how to drive a manual, at the very least. And then
why
go on
you have
to.
Let me ask you a question.
Just what? Know how to.
Let me ask you a question.
go for it.
If your phone signal dies and you have to open a map book to find directions to a meeting, can you read a map book?
Can I read a MacBook?
A MacBook.
Of course. I'm from that era. I can. But most people can't.
Are you old school?
This is what scares me. It's the same thing.
Listen,
it's the same thing.
I've seen people turning the thing around and turning it this way around and not figuring out which way is north, south, because, this does it for you. But the funny thing is, like, there are so many people. This is a conversation I had on Saturday. I went to a birthday party, and someone there said to me that he can't believe that when one of the light bulbs blow in one of his friend's houses, they have to call an electrician. Now, that's expensive.
Oh,
because
to change a light bulb.
To change. Because,
do you see where I'm going with
because
this?
Because this person... No, Leban's making a point. Because this person cannot change a light bulb. Now, that's entry level.
Mm.
A manual car is the next level. The next level after that is changing a tire. Most people can't do that. And I don't... I don't think a lot of people have ever learned to do that. And then doing things, simple things like a plug.
Yes, absolutely. You know,
being able to wire a plug properly, being able to extend a cable, a cord in your house that you need to do from one plug to the other. People can't do this.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's true. Mm. That's true. Mash, can you change a tire?
Yes, I can.
Okay, well,
there we go.
It's happening.
No, so you can do that.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a break.
But it's true, guys. You know, those small tasks that you talk about. I mean, you just talk about a plug, and I know somebody who can't change a plug.
That's very embarrassing.
You know, they get the brown and the blue in the wrong hole.
Yeah, and if you do that, you could hurt yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know that a lot of the car rental companies, to go back to your thing about automatic and manual, a lot of them don't supply manual cars anymore because people go, no, we want automatic. We don't know how to.
They don't know how to even drive.
Nope.
Weren't you supposed to, like, when you do your drivers, yeah, don't you have to know how to drive a manual to get your license?
No, they actually put it in, I think, eh?
Is it new where you can just drive an automatic?
Well, I think they say that you have got your license on an automatic.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That explains the driving lately because people are just driving like hogwash.
Really are old school, eh?
Yeah.
These
good looks for
when you,
you
started talking about how Chernobyl happened when you were on the show and
gosh.
Then Scope magazine, I mean, this is very nostalgic.
Yeah, he's just dropping all these nuggets
very nostalgic.
But listen, can I tell you, talking about Vegas, I've got to tell you guys one of the most extraordinary structures that I saw going up. Now, bearing in mind the last time I was there was in 2020, and they're busy building right now this big spherical-looking structure. And it's like you can't miss it. It's right center in the middle of Vegas. Now, you've been to Vegas. You've been to Vegas?
I haven't.
No, I haven't.
You haven't been to Vegas?
But I've watched enough like
anyway,
movies.
Anyway, but if you are watching the show this morning, just Google the MSG Sphere in Las Vegas. So MSG stands for Madison's...
Monosodium glutamate.
Glutamate. No, it's not that. It's Madison Square Gardens. Have you been to a concert at Madison Square Gardens?
No.
It's in New York. It's a big concert venue. What they're building in Vegas is called the MSG Sphere at the Venetian.
Okay.
And it's this massive entertainment venue that they're building. Now, just to give you an idea of the scale of this thing, it's estimated to cost $1.8 billion. Right.
Well, that's got to be one of the most expensive buildings ever built.
Well, one of them, if it's on a standalone structure, but when you start building stadiums and that sort of thing, it's massive. But this thing is going to be completed before the end of this year. So they started building it in 2020.
Yeah.
It will become the largest spherical structure in the world. It's 100 meters tall and about 157 meters wide. Okay. It will be able to accommodate 20,000 standing spectators.
Wow.
17,500 seated guests, and it will have 23 VIP suites. But this is where it gets exciting, the technical stuff which blows my mind.
Mm.
It's going to have 160,000 square foot wraparound LED display on the interior. So if you imagine the inside, which is 100 meters wide, there's a wraparound LED display. So it's designed
for
concerts.
It's a massive screen.
It's massive, okay? It will have a massive LED display on the outside as well. It's all fully programmable.
So the poor people who couldn't afford the tickets will stand outside. Still get a bit of a show.
And the quality of that massive screen will be better than most of us have in our homes, right? But this is the part that freaks me out. There are 164,000 speakers in this venue. And what they're doing is that they've got this company from Germany called Holoplot. And what these guys do is they give you this immersive sound experience. So wherever you sit in the stadium, you will have a completely immersive sound experience. So if you think about surround sound at home now, it's going to be all over the place. So you feel like you're in this extraordinary place. So imagine watching a concert.
Yeah, a bit disconcerting.
There are three layers of cooling, so it'll come from the top, from the side, and then
underneath
as well. So this venue is going to be extraordinary, and they reckon the first band that will be performing is going to be U2 September, October.
Yeah, haul them out of mothballs for that.
I was about to say, is U2 still a thing? I mean, they're classics, but I mean, like...
But listen, I was there over New Year's, and you know Adele's performing in Vegas, so I thought, oh, let me go and see if there are tickets available. Do you know what they wanted for a ticket to watch Adele?
Mm.
Take a guess. $48,000 to watch Adele.
48,000 rand.
Rant. And Rant. That was like right the back, at the back of the venue.
Jeez.
That's cool. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Adele.
It's yeah, Adele. But still. So, you know who went to see Adele? And
who?
He put it all over social media is Alan Ford. Stoodler.
And he was like, he was in the
he
front.
He was in front row.
Oh, so he's still calling people that.
I wonder what. Yeah, I call him. Okay. That's his nickname.
I've got a confession to make. A few years ago when I was there, there was Celine Dion was in residence at the same place. I went to watch Celine Dion.
Lovely.
And you know, can I tell you something? That the play, it's, so in the middle of a show, this is, I was like so moved by this whole thing, you know, because she goes, and now, this is when her husband was still alive. I want to talk about this very special person in my life.
What was his name?
Elaine or something. What
no,
his
man.
Name?
I don't know his name.
Who knows what Celine Dion's husband?
Anyway, we'll figure it out. But anyway, so she does this whole thing and she goes, and the camera like zooms into her face. And I want to dedicate this song to the love of my life. And she sang one of her famous songs, you know. And like as she's singing the song.
René.
As she's singing the song, you can see like her eyes start to water. And then the camera focuses on eye drop. And it goes down her cheek. And then
it doesn't bother you that she does this
no,
for every
it goes
show.
Down. And then I'm thinking, oh my God, this is so special. This is like, I was like moved by it. You
meanwhile,
know that?
She does this every
night. She does this every night.
Yeah. It's part of the show. But isn't she
like,
sick
I was
now?
Caught. No, apparently she's sick.
She's sick now. She can't what's sing ever her? Again.
She can't sing or something.
It's some like very, very rare thing. But I don't know what it's called. It's just extremely rare. But like her, I think her body, I don't want to say
it's
it
like
wrong.
An autoimmune.
I don't know. Like her muscles are sort of like just failing and she won't be able to walk and talk and do anything slowly. It's pretty scary.
And like Justin Bieber's thing is also scary. He's got like partial paralysis on the side of his face.
Well, if you make terrible music like those two have for
no man, no. Come on man,
lies. So God, on a Monday morning.
God will get wow. you eventually.
No ways, man. Don't say that about Justin Bieber.
Not Justin Bieber. He just sold off his royalties actually for like millions.
300 million.
300 million.
He sold his royalties.
I think if his music was bad, it wouldn't
so
be worth 300 million.
To say that about Justin Bieber
and Celine Dion. I said it
in
about
the same
them both.
Sentence.
Be clear.
Shocking.
Wow.
Shocking.
Wow.
Dreadful. Is this your friend, eh?
Can I get some coffee, please?
Yeah,
they're great musicians,
we'll take a break in a second. Just our new studio looks, as trendsetters are going to frustrate a lot of podcasts. Zuzile, you make no sense. That's the least cogent sentence I've ever seen in my life. A lot of people here say, Aki is that guy at the braai who always has something new to tell everybody that nobody knows.
Nah.
Are you?
Thank you.
No, that's a good thing, though.
It's a really good compliment.
I think that's
yeah.
a compliment,
it's
yeah.
It's the best way of getting out of braaiing. Because I hate braaiing.
But you like the eating the meat part?
I like the meat part, but your clothes, smell of smoke and everything. I
somebody's
got to
do it, bro.
I usually delegate someone else to do the braaiing as well.
So
the whoever can do it better than me, which is mostly everybody. You know, cooking is not my forte, Aki.
No, it's not. No, it's not. No. I've been
it's not something I care about.
Is it? Well, you got an air fryer, so like
no,
half of the cooking.
No, I got an air fryer and
never used
that. I knew you would not miss the opportunity in our first show in our new premises to talk about air fryers. She's obsessed with an air fryer.
I got an air fryer the other day as well. And the thing is amazing.
Thank
I held
you.
Off.
How long
do you know that
break?
I actually bought an air fryer about 2 years ago, and I had it in a box. I hadn't opened it. I said, "Just this is a hype. It's bullshit. It's crap."
Sure.
And I went and I returned it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went about 2 months ago and I bought an air fryer.
And now you see that it's the real thing, right?
What do you cook in there?
Everything.
I tell you, you make a chicken schnitzel in the air fryer.
There
it's
you go.
Like
chicken.
It's so cool.
It's juicy.
Scones, it's juicy. Fish, that sort of thing.
Yes.
And also, you know that it's a lot more energy efficient than using your oven because what it does is at a certain temperature, it keeps it at 180 degrees or whatever you got it on.
Sure.
And it just does things quicker.
Yeah.
Look, let's be honest about the technology. They've conned us all with these air fryers. They've just taken a coil stove, put it upside down and added a fan to the top of it.
I'll take it.
Okay, but
con me some more.
It works, Gareth.
It works.
Don't judge us.
I stopped listening somewhere after the first mention of an air fryer.
Do you have a, are you in the Facebook group with all the recipes?
Oh, my
God. No. Oh my gosh.
I got one of the, just tell me, share that Facebook group. It's a very cool Instagram page.
Right, well, while and those two are busy with
you,
their
have you downloaded
thing,
the Philips Nutri app?
There's an app.
This is the app, the Nutri app.
We'll be back with a whole lot more in the next hour. We'll also be revealing our special guest for this morning's show. We'll be welcoming our friends from Markets.com for our first Markets Monday of 2023. And, of course, welcome to our brand new digs, our brand new venue, because it's not really just the studio.
It's Cliff Central House. You got to say it right.
Cliff Central House.
That's what it is.
I think that's it. Yeah, I think that's it.
Cliff Central House.
Yeah. That's nice. In that voice, in that exact voice. Please do it again.
Cliff Central House.
There we go. We got our voice up.
I like the name.
Very nice.
Fantastic.
All right. We'll be back in a moment. CliffCentral.com.